Our true mind, or the essence of mind, is always there. True suchness, or ru putong in Mandarin. This is the reason why you cannot practice mindfulness or sati or awareness. You cannot try to be mindful, because the trying and the practicing or noting and doing, etc., is always by the thought. And what is thought? The product from that nature, understand? Because it arises through causes and conditions and manifests into the existential world. So when there is thought, you are already not the awareness nature already. Do you understand? That's why thought-based meditation cannot realize a state that is beyond thought. The one that is beyond thought is the awareness nature. So if you understand this, then if one does not understand this true principle of the true mind, that is the essence of mind is already there, and we don't have to do anything to be mindful, because the moment you are silent and without thought, with the inner awareness, you are already naturally aware, mindful, and heedful. And you will be able to see things as they are naturally, because that one is capable of direct seeing. That one, no thought, no concept. It's seeing as it is, no word on. Yeah. So seeing things as they are naturally to understand the truth and the reality arising within the moment. That's why if you are not completely aware, silent, you cannot develop awareness to understand, to comprehend, or to pay attention to. So whenever thought arises, you are lost in thought. Preoccupy your thinking, stirring, emotion. Then how can you pay attention? How can you be aware? Understand that. For if we do not stir the mind, means create the manifestation of the thinking, the mundane mind, or cause it to arise, the thinking, via our heedlessness or conditioning born of wrong view based on our brain, our memory, then our mind will be very quiet and still, or silent without thought, because that is your nature. Then it can be aware of this essence of mind, which is your true mind, which is the natural state of silent inner awareness before the knowing. Hence, mindfulness or sati, which is the silent inner awareness, will automatically shine from there. Because from that nature within, you become aware. Thought does not arise. But the moment thought arises, you are no longer aware. You are already in the creation process. Your sankhara activity has arisen. Your aggregate of mind has arisen. That's why you have perception, you have consciousness, you have mental states, you have views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, and you can develop feeling and emotion. That is what the human being is all about. That is what the living being is all about, the five aggregate of form and mind. So this part, understand it well, and you will progress. So this silent inner awareness will automatically shine forth from the nature within, because man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are silent and aware within with your nature or essence of mind, or you are lost in thought. You have come out and you have developed the heedless thinking. That's why you get yourself entangled and think that that tiny thought that you arise is you. That egoic mind is you. So this is the reason why living beings who don't have this understanding cannot understand the meditation as taught by the Buddha, the awareness base. Because they are looking for enlightenment and they don't know what is enlightenment. And they become gullible. Why? Because they believe what people say. you meditate, you use this method, this technique, this is vipassana. And you do it, one day, you realize, you become enlightened. And most people like to keep it that way, and as a, we are popularly accepted and logical, isn't it? One day, you will become enlightened. But that one day, he never tell you when. But the Buddha, in the salutation to the Dhamma, he said, this Dhamma is sanditiko, can be realized in the here and the now, before you die. So no need to wait till after death, or one day. Understand? So all these are the understanding. So the moment you are lost in thought, you are preoccupied with all your activity of mind, like thinking, stirring, and reacting to sense experience. Just like the analogy of the sun. The sun is always there. So your true nature is always there. And its ray, which is your awareness, is ever shining and radiating. But when the clouds are there, its ray cannot shine through. So similarly, what obscure your true mind from arising or coming out is your mundane mind, understand? And what is your mundane mind? Your thought process, understand? Your emotion, your aggregates of mind. So your various thought process or thought, your various emotion and reaction or stirring of the mind are like cloud obscuring your true nature or true mind from shining forth the awareness. Hence your inability to see things as they are via the direct seeing with your silent mind or true mind. Go back and read through this. Contemplate, reflect, silence your mind and understand it. The moment you understand this, I guarantee you enlightenment. If you understand you cannot do, too bad. Which means you don't understand. If you understand, you sure can do it. True or not? Yeah? So, one paragraph only, although quite long, three-quarter page. Worth the effort or not? Huh? To give it a try or not? If you penetrate your home, then I read on. According to the Sutta on Dependent Origination of Paticca-samuppada, as taught by the Buddha, the first three links are avijja, paccaya, sankara. What is avijja? Ignorant. Because of ignorant, you create sankara activity. And what is sankara activity? The content of consciousness, which is your thought. So dependent on ignorance, the Buddha say, you arise the sankara activity, which is mental activity, mental thinking. The reason being, due to ignorance, you want to know, you want to understand. So what you do? The teacher in the school, you want to understand, you want to know? Go back and think about it. He always tell you to do that. So what is thinking? Thinking is going to the memory, understand? Where this is your brain. You go to the brain is one of your organs, one of your senses. When you go there and make contact, like the physics experiment, the light bulb lights up. What is that? That is your thought consciousness. And now you become conscious of thinking. The thought consciousness. If it's the eye seeing, the light bulb light up means you become conscious of what you see. We are our human being. We have six sense bases. We have an aggregate that the Buddha called vijnanam or consciousness. And this is what your mind can do. It can make you conscious. Conscious of what you see through your eye. Conscious of what you hear through your ear. Conscious of what you smell, taste, tactile feel, and think through your thought or memory or brain. So this is how the Paticca-samuppada evolve and manifest. Dependent on ignorance, not understanding, wanting to know, wanting to understand, you go and think. Thinking is make contact with the brain. You try to retrieve all your memory. For you to perceive, you need memory, isn't it? You need all the knowledge that you accumulated inside there, your experiences. That's why what is memory? Accumulation of experiences, knowledge, conditioning, and whatever that you have experienced, good and bad. And this one is what the brain is all about. And from the brain, you retrieve whatever you have learned, or your conditioning, your belief system, your views, your opinion, and all this you manifest through your mundane thinking. You input as content of consciousness. That's how you perceive. You can perceive my voice. You can perceive the Buddha image. You can perceive everything within this room, where there are conditions for the perception to arise. What are the causes and conditions? You need an organ, the eye, that can see. You need the light that can actually give rise to the causes and conditions for the eye to actually create the vision. And you need the mind to also make contact. Then you need the external sense data. So external sense data, sense basis, and the consciousness, these three, when they come to contact, like the physics experiment, it will arise the respective consciousness. It makes you conscious. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. And that is how you function as a human. So when that thought consciousness arrives, that is vijnanam, anasara. That's why in the teaching, the Buddha said, avijja pachya sankara. Then sankara pachya vijnanam. This is your thought consciousness, the pure consciousness before the content go in. Understand? This is what the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see yet. Can follow? You can follow, very good. Means the pure consciousness, without the content, without the brain, the memory to tell you what this thing is. That's why that is the seeing thing as they are. Because the pure perception without the words. That's why in the seeing, the Buddha said, it's only the seeing consciousness, only that consciousness. Nobody inside there. You understand? There is no one to see. That's why sakkāditti arrives when you input the content of consciousness. You think you are a human being. You think you are real. You exist. You think this is what you are. The ego, or what we call the personality. Then from here, you act. I see, therefore I am. This is delusion. That's why the Buddha said, if you have mindfulness and awareness, you can be aware of the pure vijnanam, the consciousness. Then you can be aware of the moment the content of consciousness going, and how this content comes to be. That's why everyone is different. Where you are born different, with karmic inheritance of karmic background that are so different. Then you come, the retributive karma, activity karma, affliction karma, actually create the causes and conditions for you to go through that type of life. Then you, how you accumulate your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system are all karmically related. Of course, if you have the good karma, you know how to cultivate, then you can also connect back and develop the enlightenment and understand all this. Otherwise, you cannot. So this is how you function as a human. Dependent on ignorant avijja, you go to the brain, you create thought consciousness through making contact with the brain. That's like avijja pachya sankara. Sankara is thinking. Then it manifests that pure consciousness, vijnanam. After vijnanam arrives, you input the content of consciousness. That is the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why that form and mind, namaru, is the thought itself. It's not the three period of time. It's not rebirth, consciousness, condition, the what they call the physical body and mind, or the human being is born. So past life, this life, then die, the following life. No, the Bodhisattva-samuppada is every moment, every instant. So after this link develop into what we call a form and mind, oh, I didn't finish the whole Bodhisattva-samuppada here. Oh, okay, never mind. I think I only work on the first four links. Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam, vijnanam paccaya nama rupam. That one, I think, not mentioned here. Never mind, I read through and see. So, dependent on ignorance arises sankhara activity or mental thinking. Then, dependent on mental thinking or mental activity arises the mind or mental consciousness, which is vijnanam. This is just the pure consciousness or awareness before the knowing, or the perception, the pure perception. Yeah. So before the knowing means no perception, no labeling, no concept, no word, nothing. That is, there is no one to see or to perceive, means objective seeing, understand not? The other type is what? Subjective seeing. There is a subject, I see. Objective means there is no subject. This is what Krishnamurti meant by the observer is the observer. Bingfi, now you understand. The observer is the observer. Understand? But it's not separate. So when you have the subject as the observer, then you think the observer and the thing you observe is different. Who is the observer? It's the thought, isn't it? What you observe is the content of consciousness, isn't it? That you manifest through your thought, isn't it? How you come to know the world? Through your senses, isn't it? You come to perceive them through your consciousness, isn't it? And what is consciousness? Mental image, isn't it? How real can it be? Maybe it brings about the condition for me to explain the other one. This morning, we were reading through, you must learn how to see form, to see the unreality of form. Then only can you see beyond form. Remember that section we go through? Yeah? None of you remember. Most of you remember that. How you develop that? You mean it's very difficult to see form? Very easy, yeah, through our consciousness, all this external form you can see that. But to see the unreality of form, can you do it? Yeah? That is where the difficulty is. That is where sati is needed. I ask you, all this external form, the table, my vase, this cup, all this paper, book, everything, is it real? Of course you see real lah. But you can touch, you can feel, you know, and can even see, you know, color, shape, and form, everything there. You know. Why you say not real? The reason why it's not real is because form is dependent originating, understand? Condition arising, causal phenomena, not what you think. So the unreality of form means what? Form is impermanent. Why? Because it's dependent originating. I ask you now a question. All these things that I describe, including the whole building, how did it arise? You mean God create? You definitely know it's not God create, isn't it? You think the floorboard that you sit on, no donation come in, temple don't do, you can have it. This table, how it come about? You need the raw material, the carpenter, understand or not? Somebody make it, then put it out for sale, then they bought and offer to temple, pop, come already, arise already. You say exist already. You say real, I own, yeah, I paid money for it. Then the Buddha gave a very good analogy, the bullock cart. You heard of the bullock cart? He told the monk, what is that? They say bullock cart. Okay? The monk say, take apart the wheel, the axle, everything. Dismantle all the parts. Then he asked the monk, what do you see? He said, no more blockade. Then the Buddha said, assemble it back. The blockade arise again. This is how the Buddha teach. What do you understand from that? The blockade arise because of the parts. Understand not? You know what are the parts or not? The causes and conditions for it to come together, like our physical body. You need all the causes and conditions for it to arise. That's why it's all dependent oriented. All phenomena, everything you come to perceive in this universe is dependent originating, conditioned, right? And because of that, they are impermanent. They keep on changing, evolving, decaying, die. Then this table, if let's say somebody steal it, or it get damaged, or stolen, or fire, or what, then the condition no more, then it ceases to be, understand not? So the blockade also same. The parts you take away, it no longer perform a function, you can no longer create a concept out of it, then there is no word, nothing. But when you assemble them back, it can perform a function and you give it a name or label it, blockade, arise already, exists already. So what the Buddha wants you to understand is all these external forms, they are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not real, not what you think. So externally is already not what you think, because this one is dependent originating, condition arising. Without causes and condition, nothing happened. Like our retreat. You think by chance, every one of us here, there are causes and conditions for it to arise there. If Padmasuri, they all don't organize, I don't agree, then there is no retreat. Then if you all not happen to have the causes and conditions to be contacted and you want to put your name there, you won't be here. That's not. All this manifestation and happening cannot happen. Now you understand the nature's law. Very powerful. That's why everything is condition arising, affinity, dependent originating. When you have the awareness nature, you see all this. And all this that I learn is from the awareness nature. I never learn from science or physics. This one I'm not taught in school. Your senses, how you function as a human, the school never teach you. He teach you biology, anatomy, very detailed. But consciousness, they cannot teach. The actual functioning of that thing, they cannot teach. The actual seeing of this thing, they cannot teach. So externally already dependent originating, not so real. Then I ask you the next question. How do you know it's a blockade? How do you know it's a table? How do you know all this external form? Through your what? Education is one. Of course through your your aggregate of mind, which is the one that know all this. Your perception is it. Your perception perceive. And when it perceive, if you know physics, it's an inverted image up here. Yeah. What we see laterally inverted, but the brain know how to make it upright, understand? Then you like see it exactly. But actually the physics teacher, they will explain to you, light travel in such a way, when it cross your eye, it's laterally inverted. Like you look into a mirror. Whatever is reflected is laterally inverted. But over the eons and eons of evolution, our brain has become very smart. He can see, despite the inverted image. So, now I ask you another question. Externally, already not so real. We are dependent originating. Dependent originating means condition arising phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. Then how you come to know? You know it through your consciousness, understand or not? That perceive, which is the aggregates of mind that brings the external form into your consciousness. And this consciousness is just a mental image, understand or not? How real can it be? It's just an image, And you cling on to it, grasp on to it, try to own it, possess it, and quarrel for it. That's why you cannot see form, the unreality of form, you cannot see beyond form. It will trap you. That's why I say form is unreal. Form is not what you think. That form doesn't know that you call it buloka, no, understand? It's your memory, your knowledge, your perception that give that word a meaning. No? So the world is not what you think. No? They are inanimate. No? But this mundane mind kepoa, no, create a lot of duality, word, terminology, and like create the phenomenal world to entice you to to lure you, and make it like, wow, existence is beautiful, and that's all. Like everything is so interesting, like so enticing, and that's all, luring. Especially now, the sensuality in our society or our so-called civilization now. You know, the level of sensuality has gone up so high, you know, because of what? Handphone, AI, technology. You can see whatever you want. Distant object all over the world, so you can see. Sometimes I say, you don't have to travel. Save the money. On your Astro, on your TV program, everything is so clear. You go there, must take photos. Very cold. Then sometimes seasick. Sometimes the flight delay and all those things. Then you suffer. Some people actually, as you age, when you go for this a long trip, actually it's not easy. And a lot of people suffer. So what I'm trying to explain to you is, when you have the awareness to see all this, the unreality of it, then you will know how to understand life and live life. And you will not be deceived by it. And yet, you can make use of it. Understand? Not? Like this for my mind. Not me, but related to me karmically. I need to have the understanding to perform my duty. I cannot simply do things. Otherwise, the claw of karma hit back. So all this understanding is very important.